Basketball is a wonderful game. Definitely my favorite. It is a game of graceful, skilled players who are at their best, not only for their individual talents, but also for their ability to play in a team. And even though I have lived in Hawaii for nearly 20 years, I have never stopped following the Los Angeles Lakers, one of the most successful franchises in basketball history, not so much the last few years. But I grew up watching Elgin Baylor, one of the original acrobatic ball players, Jerry West, called the Logo because the NBA logo looks like him, Wilt Chamberlain, the greatest scorer of all, single season scorer of all time, later Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the greatest scorer in the history of the NBA, Magic Johnson, still later Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, and Pau Gasol. I was such a big Lakers fan back then. When the Lakers got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who had also played at UCLA, I wanted to be just like him. And I even had a t-shirt made that paid homage to him. And instead of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I was Korean Abdul-Jabbar. Now, I never did become a great basketball player. I would describe myself as an okay player who had some moments here and there. I was able to dunk a basketball every once in a while if I got a good grip on the ball. I was a pretty good shot blocker and a streaky shooter. So sometimes I couldn't miss and sometimes I would miss all the time. But when my basketball game was going the best, there were some definite trends. The first thing was, when it was going good for me, I had a regular schedule of playing. This is a photo of a game from a league called the Nisei Athletic Union, which was originally formed for Japanese Americans. My memory is that, I think I was told, is that part of it was because Japanese Americans were, during the war times, there was a lot of prejudice against them, so they needed to form their own league, but also because many of them were shorter of stature compared to mainstream Americans, they really wanted to have something that was sort of more fair competition back in those days. So they had this league, and you either had to be of Japanese descent, or they allowed up to two non-Japanese Asians to play on it, and that's why I got in. And I played NAU basketball for many years. In fact, this is the original warm-up jacket and also jersey that I wore. This is from 1980. Oh my gosh. I was going to wear it, but you know, I realized that maybe I shouldn't. So anyway, it even has my number, which is number 33. Those of you who know basketball know that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wore number 33. So Korean Abdul-Jabbar wore number 33. I would also play in a Korean American Basketball League at the same time, different night, and also church league. Sometimes I would play men's basketball, and we also had a co-ed basketball league, which is a lot of fun. And on Sunday afternoons, our church would rent a gym, and we played pickup basketball. And in fact, over the years, when I lived in Los Angeles, the main way we got guys to come to church was through basketball. It says we have a pickup game in the afternoon, or we have a church league basketball team, but you gotta come to church in order to play. And we got guys that way. And a few women in the co-ed league. So playing four times a week kept my game sharp and me in shape to play my best. But in addition to playing several times a week, I also practiced regularly on my own. I would go to the local park and I would shoot baskets, maybe 200 shots a day, and then run back and forth on the court. They're called like suicides. You go from sideline to the free throw line, back, and then half court, then back, then the other free throw line, then back, then all the way to the other sideline, and then back. That's called a suicide. And you used to do them two or three times. The third thing was simply being on a team. Shooting baskets in the morning, you know, that's okay, but really, the most fun and most fulfillment and best my game ever got was when I was on a team, on the Flying Tigers, or on the different church league teams I played on. It was just the best thing to be on a team, especially when we were winning. That was just awesome. Now, in thinking about it, success in basketball, to me, is very similar to when church goes the best. In the passage from 1 Corinthians 9 that Pastor Linda read, the writer Paul compares the spiritual journey with being an athlete, that you practice self-control, that you discipline yourself through a regular, focused exercise regimen, and you're just do these activities often and repeatedly. And while Paul was probably a boxer, so a little more individualistic, Paul does talk in other places about being like a body, a group, a team. So very much it was about disciplining yourself, practicing, and being on a team. So like basketball, when faith goes best for people, it is much like basketball. You have a regular worship life. You're on a team, like a small group or a Bible study. You have individual practices like regular daily disciplines, like going to the park and shooting. You go to your Bible and read. And when it goes the best, all of those things are in play. And I would also add that occasional concentrated times, like a retreat or a conference, can be the most fulfilling and exciting. When I was playing basketball, nothing was more exciting than a tournament that went over the weekend, or playoffs, and that there was a championship at stake, and it was just really exhilarating and thrilling. Similarly, being a part of like a retreat or a conference like the Walk to Emmaus, which we have here twice a year, or I know that in this church, we have sent teams on a specialized, focused experience at the Ginsburg Change the World Conference, and they came back with amazing experiences. Very similar. Now, it's been a few years since I played team ball. The last time was on a couple of church league teams here in Hawaii. I played actually before I even became the pastor there, I played for the IA United Methodist Church, and I also played for a team that was formed for the First Laugh prison program. The Peacemakers is what they were called. But up to a little while ago, I was playing pickup basketball at the Kaneohe District Park Gym, and that's what's pictured there. We rented out this gym from 11:30 to 1 on Mondays, and mostly it'd be clergy and lay people who would come, and we would play. Stefan comes every once in a while, although he thinks that going to class is more important than basketball, and I don't know where his priorities are, but you know, okay, whatever. There are also a couple of guys from the health center across the street who come, and about 2 weeks ago, I was playing on Monday like usual. I wasn't playing really well. The guy that I was guarding on what turned out to be the last game of the day was just burning me for shots. And he was just shooting these shots, and they were going in. And this guy, he was like 5'6" tall. I'm like over 6 feet. And I'm confident that when I was younger, I could have blocked those shots easily and just tore him up, all right? But now he was shooting, they're going in over me, and to use basketball slang, they were in my face. And the other team was talking trash to me, and I was just getting really a little annoyed, I have to admit. So at one point, I had had enough, and I decided that I was going to block his shot like the old days, just swat it away. And I went up as high as I could, which is not as high as I used to be able to go. And then I extended, because I was trying so hard, I leaned forward, I actually leaned into him, I lost my balance, we both fell, and when, as he hit the ground, his knee was flexed, and I was trying to avoid him, so I turned, and this part of my back, my rib cage, landed right on his knee. I doubled over in pain. It didn't seem that bad at first, but as my family will attest, within 36 hours, I was in so much pain that trying to lie down, even clearing my throat, would result in a searing spasm That would be about 9 or 10 seconds, and also on the 9 or 10 level on the pain scale. I remember Becky would say, "Do you have to yell like that? Can't you just do it in silence?" And I said, "No, I cannot not yell." Now, I'm better now, but it will be a long time before it fully heals. If I sneeze, I will have a 6 to 7 level pain spasm. And then if I want to cough, I've got to press here and I've got to press here, and then I can sort of kind of cough a little bit so it doesn't hurt. I reached a momentous decision last Saturday. And on Facebook, I retired from playing basketball, and I had been playing basketball for over 50 years, starting from when my dad put up a basketball on our garage when I was a little boy. I started playing league basketball from age 10, and all those things I've talked about before, and now it's over. It has ended. Basketball is no more for me in terms of playing. Now, and it's more than just not playing, which is just really, I don't like running. You know, running around a track just boring me. Basketball was a lot of running, and it's not just it's great exercise. But some of my best relationships, some of my best and most fun times have come through basketball. And it's different now. I'll still be able to come to the gym, and I can say hi to the guys, but it's not going to be the same because I'm not playing anymore. I'll never again have the exhilaration of a hard-fought victory, of being on a championship team, of successfully blocking a shot, which, by the way, is very satisfying, which is why I went so hard against that guy. Basketball is very much like church in many ways, except that with church, it's never over. It goes on and on and on, no matter what shape your body is and no matter what shape is going on. It just goes on amazingly, and it even gets better and better. Basketball, I'm nowhere near the kind of person I was 40 years ago. With the church, it's totally different. The second scripture reading for today comes from the second letter we have from Paul to the Corinthians. And in it he says, Paul does, "So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, for what cannot be seen is eternal." And with this injury and this retirement from basketball, I've looked at this passage completely differently. It's become very personal for me. Basketball is over, but the church continues. And it just keeps getting better and better. Yesterday was the announced day for decorating for the holidays. It's something that in the churches I've been in have done for years and years. Now, it was scheduled to start at 9 and end at 2. I got to the church at 8:15. There was nobody there, but that's okay. We had 45 more minutes. At 9 o'clock sharp, Mark Brecky, our English ministry youth worker, showed up. I had made a point for Mark to come because he has this expertise in setting things up and carpeting. And we were sitting there looking at each other. At 9:05, Kim Hauf, one of our newer attendees, showed up. It was the three of us. I felt like, oh man, what are we going to do? Just the three of us? This is a disaster. A few minutes later, Jennifer Mafua, who was the designer of this whole thing, came with her mom, and I asked her who was coming. She said, "I have no idea. I figured we would just get a little bit done, or just like settle for a lot less." Getting the stage up was a high priority, and Mark needed some tools. Jennifer needed some cords and stuff. So Mark and I decided that we would go to Home Depot, and then we would come back and just do what little we could, and then just give up. We were gone for about a half an hour, an hour and a half, And when we returned, there was a full team of people working. It was awesome. I advertised that we would end at 2, but most stayed beyond that, and several stayed until past 8 p.m. And look at what we have today. It's just really awesome, isn't it? Now, I've been part of Christmas decorating for many, many years, but this year was the absolute best ever. Not only innovative, amazing design and creativity, but also just how heartening it was to see this great team of people, many of them didn't know each other, but working so hard and happily and joyfully putting this together. It was just amazing. And I want to say that after 31 years of being in full-time ministry, being appointed here to First United Methodist Church of Honolulu is so exciting. And I can just tell that for me, and I hope for the whole congregation, that the best is yet to come. This is the first Sunday of Advent. It is a traditional beginning of the Christian year. It is when we anticipate the coming of the Christ child. But it isn't just a historical story. It is a constant and living reminder of the glory of God through Jesus Christ that is something that comes into our lives again and again. And it is something that never ends and, in fact, gets better and better and better. No matter what's going on physically, no matter what's going on situationally, when we put our wholehearted faith in Jesus Christ, it gets better and better. So may that hope and reality remain with us during this Advent, this Christmas, and always. Let's pray. God, we are just so grateful to you for all that you've given us. We want to thank you. We have many different pursuits, many different things that, because of our age or our disability or other reasons, we can no longer do them. And that part of our lives has ended. But Lord, we have the great miracle of the church. All ages, all walks of life, all types coming together, working together as a team. And not only does it never end, but it gets better and better into eternity. May that realization be true for us in Advent and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.